Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Growing up a Kennedy means politics and the Catholic Church. For Bobby Kennedy's daughter, Carrie, that meant talking social justice at the dinner table and family prayer morning and night. Carrie Kennedy is 49 now, a divorced mother of three daughters, a devoted Catholic but with deep questions about the Church. In a new book, she talks with other American Catholics, Anna Quinlan, John Sweeney, Peggy Noonan, Susan Sarandon, and many more, about being Catholic. This hour on Point, Carrie Kennedy and Being Catholic Now. You can join the conversation. What does Catholicism stand for today? And Catholics, where has your spiritual journey taken you? What about your church? Joining me now from Stamford, Connecticut, is Carrie Kennedy. She's a human rights lawyer, mother, and Catholic. Her new book is Being Catholic Now, and it is an eye-opener with an all-star cast of prominent Catholics, prominent in American cultural life, Cokie Roberts, Frank McCourt, Martin Sheen, Doris Kearns Goodwin, and many more. Carrie Kennedy, thank you very much for being with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much, Tom.
We've heard you talk about the book, but we just couldn't get enough. I wanted to hear more, but I wish you'd set the picture for us just a minute, taking us back to the daily prayer routine in your Kennedy household and what that was like.
Well, I grew up in a deeply Catholic family and, steeped in the rituals of the Church. Along with my 10 brothers and sisters, we woke up, got on our knees, and consecrated the day to the glory of God through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Before and after breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we prayed, and then after dinner, we read the Bible out loud, and before bed every night, we went to my parents' bedroom, kneeled around their bed, and prayed the rosary. Every Sunday, the girls put on mantillas and white gloves and dresses, and the boys put on suits, and we went off to Mass. So it was a typical family. Catholic family in the 1960s.
And here we are 40 years later, and you set out to think yourself and to talk with many other Catholics about, you know, what it is to be Catholic today. What set you out on that journey, Carrie?
Well, I consider myself in many ways a typical Catholic of this generation, someone who grew up steeped in the rituals of the Church, who as an adult has asked tough questions about what it means to be Catholic today. What do I want to pass on to my kids? What is and is not sacrosanct? And I think this book about what it means to be Catholic is particularly important now in the midst of this presidential election, when both vice presidential candidates grew up in Catholic households and consider their faith essential to their outlook on life. But I set out to speak with Catholics who were well known for depth and expertise on particular issues and who represented different walks of life, women and men, actors, historians, journalists, politicians, and more. And they range in age from 19 to 86. They're white, Latino, African-American. Politically, they span from Bill Maher to Bill O'Reilly.
Bill Maher, who said if he was Pope, he'd close down the church. Bill O'Reilly, who's a very public defender of church and often church practice and teaching. Give us just a sense. I mean, we'll look at your own and some of their journeys, but a sense of the highlights of what you found in your conversations with them, Carrie.
Well, mostly I found that everybody, whether they're the most orthodox Catholic, someone like Tom Monahan, who is taking his $1 billion from the Domino's pizza fortune to build a Catholic town, Ave Maria, sort of a Catholic Disney World in Florida, to others, Susan Sarandon, who are more progressive or less orthodox in their approach to Catholicism, that everybody has some sort of disagreement with the hierarchy of the Church. And I think when I started this book, I found that my disagreements with the hierarchy were preventing me from a deeper sense of spirituality. And one of the lessons I came away from this book with is that it's okay to have those arguments. Everybody does. Even Jesus had arguments with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jewish elders, leaders of the day. And, from the left to the right, everybody has those. Peggy Noonan sees quarreling with the church as positive. She said, we all should argue with the church. We're all thinking human beings. God gave us brains. He doesn't want us to love. He doesn't want the love of slaves. He wants us to think it through and get it straight. And I loved what Andrew Sullivan wrote, who, of course, is very conservative, very Orthodox Catholic, and also a gay man. And he says, it does matter when I disagree with the Pope. Catholics throughout the last two millennia have lived in the church when it is doing things they don't agree with. The gospel of Jesus is constantly saying, don't lose sight. All these laws, let them go if you love. If you have them all and you don't have love, it means nothing.
Does all that questioning then make this truly a good time for the Catholic Church, or is there... You know, I mean, at some points with the sex scandal in recent years and laity up in arms about that and more, it's appeared that, well, I don't know if the boat was rocking or sometimes coming apart at the seams, at least in this country.
Well, I think you're right. You know, our boat has been rocked, and many Catholics grew up with the Baltimore Catechism, which not only gave us the questions to ask, but all the answers as well, which we were to memorize and repeat back. So, and that sort of rote Catholicism has been examined and been found wanting. But I think that it actually is very, very healthy for us to ask these questions, because when you start asking questions, you deepen your sense of faith and your curiosity and your understanding of why you believe and why you don't believe in certain things. So I think that's helpful. You know, when Pope Benedict was in New York last year, he said that one of the pillars of Catholicism is the quest for the truth. And you really cannot have a quest for the truth unless you're willing to question authority. So there's always been this dual message in Catholicism, on the one hand of obedience to authority, and on the other hand, to revere saints who, of course, were many times burned at the stake for questioning authority.
Right.
So I think that this is a strong tradition within Catholicism, and one that we should embrace and feel comfortable with.
Well, let's look at some of those questions. You told the Boston Globe recently that your Catholicism was central to your connection to the Almighty, to humanity, to your heritage, to your upbringing. But you said so often when you've gone to church, you're confronted with words and symbols that were anathema to my values. So give us your list.
Well, I mean, I spent 8 years in a Northern Virginia parish where they did not allow girls as altar servers. So that would be one example.
Gender roles.
Yeah, of gender roles. You know, as Anna Quinlan calls them, gynecological theology.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, I am pro-choice, and this is a church that is adamantly not pro-choice. But let me just address that for a moment, because I think that's important for particularly in light of the current political situation, you know, where we have, as I mentioned, two vice presidential candidates baptized Catholics, Obama calling on our better angels at every as part of his stump speech, and Sarah Palin, of course, who is calling on us to pray that the war in Iraq and the Alaska pipeline are missions from God. And then the bishops this week threatening Biden with withholding communion because of his stance on the right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that there's a new study out that looked at all 50 states and acknowledged that there was an increase from 1979 to 1990. There was an increase in the abortion rate under Reagan-Bush by 14.2% and a decrease in abortion rate by 34% under Clinton. So an increase by 14% under the Republicans, a decrease by 34% under the Democrats. Why? The study shows that economic and social supports, which benefit pregnant women, increase employment, and the removal of state caps on the number of kids eligible for economic assistance, dramatically reduces abortions. That program is fully funded in the Democratic Party platform and was removed as too costly from the Republican Party platform.
But wouldn't the Catholic hierarchy say, just outlaw it? That's one way of tamping down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, but it's easy to just to make a political issue out of it and say it should be outlawed. And I think that all of us want to have the least number of abortions possible. So if you're truly interested in getting away from partisan rhetoric and getting into the reality of what's happening in America today, you would say that it's better to have a 34% decrease in abortion than a 14% increase in abortions. And so that would be the way to go. That's my opinion. And I think that there are many people who share it.
Gender roles, the issue of abortion is high on your list. Where else do you find yourself, as you say, seeing church symbols and words as anathema to your values?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that E.J. Dion says in my interview with him is that the church should make us all feel guilty. Guilt is good. And he said, on the left, it should make us rethink our position on abortion, on stem cell research. And on the right, it should make people rethink their position on funding for social justice programs and on the war in Iraq and on the death penalty. So I think there are areas in all sides where the Catholic Church is challenging us. And I think that that's a good and a healthy thing. Mm. Let me just say also that it happens in areas of Catholic, when I'm in church.
Carrie, can you hold that thought? We've got to take a short break here. Forgive me. E.J. Dionne saying guilt is good. Frank McCourt telling Carrie Kennedy, I'm reconciled to the oblivion that is coming. I see no proof of anything else. I had to get out from under the fear and the guilt. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking this hour with Bobby Kennedy's daughter, Carrie Kennedy, about her new book, Being Catholic Now. It explores her own and other prominent American Catholics' relationships with, struggles with, the Catholic Church and its teaching, place, and role in the world. Carrie Kennedy joins us from Stamford, Connecticut. And Carrie, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you there going into that break you were saying.
No, I was saying that, I've been a human rights activist for 27 years, and so often when I've traveled to other countries, I've seen Catholics who imbued with this tremendous sense of faith and belief in a loving and just God have risked their lives, have risked imprisonment and torture and death for basic rights most of us take for granted. And those people have been a tremendous source of inspiration for me and for deepening my sense of faith. You know, solidarity activists in Poland, the Mothers of the Disappeared in El Salvador, more recently the Catholic Church, which really is the only voice for opposition in Liberia under 13 years of civil war and two dictatorships. So I just want to point out that there are extraordinary human beings all over the world and in the United States working on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, which is the poorest, one of the poorest areas of America, working in some of the most difficult housing projects, the most violent housing project in Los Angeles, who are extraordinary heroes. And so I think that we have to, when we are critical of some of the things the church does, we also have to keep in mind the tremendous sacrifice that members of the church make on social justice issues.
And you're very clear on that in the book, and you talk with people who hold that up very high and others who say, in spite of that, I'm out. You describe a moment when you, not so long ago, when you met Pope Benedict, and I thought, wow, it takes some, I'm not sure what, to have the exchange you had with him. You're waiting in line. You come up to him at the Vatican. You've got 30 seconds, and you, Carrie Kennedy, say to him, and I'm quoting here from your book, Your Eminence, in view of the tragedy unfolding in Africa, for the sake of the sanctity of life, would you consider changing the Church's position on the use of condoms. How did the Pope respond?
Well, first of all, the person to the left of me had brought all these rosary beads, and she sort of backed away
and
rattled everything in case that lightning bolt missed me and hit her. But, you know, he said, God bless you. And some people have taken that as sort of a brush off, but I really don't. I appreciate the Pope's blessing. And the Catholic Church, God only knows, the Catholic Church does not need me to talk to the Pope about the tragedy of HIV/AIDS in Africa. The Catholic Church is one of the largest organizations treating people with HIV and working on prevention. So let's just start with acknowledging that. I had that conversation with the Pope in November, and in April, he called upon a group of bishops to look into condoms and AIDS in Africa. So, you know, I think it's important to speak up and speak out, whether you think it makes a difference or not. It's just that's what we're supposed to do, and that's what we're taught to do as Catholics, to speak truth to power.
Carrie Kennedy's new book is Being Catholic Now, and it's It has contributions from a lot of prominent Catholics right around the country, and a lot of Catholics and others who want to speak with you. If we may turn to them, Carrie, let's go to Augusta, Georgia, and Jeff. Jeff, you're on the air with Carrie Kennedy.
Thank you very much. Yes, just quickly, Carrie's story is about exactly my story as far as the rosaries around the bed and the praying and mm-hmm. and the ritual and everything else. And one of the things that I've come to do is I've quit going to communion. And I've done that because it's just the church to me has become too political in its sense of just not being tolerant, you know, of what, you know, I'm not being tolerant of different points of view. And my question for Carrie is Orthodox versus Reform in the Jewish religion was a big schism, and they both came out of it reasonably well from all the Jews that I know. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that in America that we'll see some type of an organized schism? In the sense of what this Pope Benedict has called his, my understanding, and I get the Z-Net, I get the stuff from Rome all the time, mm-hmm. is that he would prefer a smaller church that is more doctrinaire than he would this bigger thing that has to, you know, that has to incorporate people like myself and like Carrie and so many other Catholics that are social justice people, and I wonder if Carrie could just comment on that, on the future of the church, because I see the church as, if it's not careful, it'll be minimalized, just like, you know, in this, yeah, just because there's a certain amount of that going on right now between the left and the right.
Even the possibility, you imagine somehow, of a split. Carrie Kennedy, you raise this very kind of policy or strategy of perhaps a smaller but more doctrinaire, obedient, purer church. Jeff wonders if the tension could even create something different than that.
Well, I think, you know, there is a split among the Orthodox and the less Orthodox Catholics in the United States. But let me just say that when Pope Benedict came to New York and came to the United States a few months ago in April, there was a sort of clamoring for him to make proclamations along those lines and to condemn the more progressive parts of the church and the universities, et cetera. And he did not do so. So I think that was a very good sign of embracing a broader vision for the church. The Catholic Church has 1 billion people worldwide. In the United States, there are 60 million of us. And as Cokie Roberts points out in the book, the Vatican and the Pope are not the Catholic Church. It's a part of it. They're an important part of it, but they are not the end-all of it. The Catholic Church is made up of all of us. And we are the body of this organization. And so we all have a place in it. And that's my perspective on it.
Well, what's the conversation like within your own Kennedy family at this point? With all the points of doctrine at which you, and surely not you alone, have differences with the church, and yet such a long family history of deep involvement in the church, I mean, what's the dinner table conversation, or is it awkward?
Oh no, I mean, I think that most I think that most of the people in our family would go along with my perspective. My sister Kathleen Kennedy Townsend wrote a book last year, which is expressing a very kind of very, very progressive perspective on what the church ought to be doing. I think that that's reflective of what many of us think. I have I grew up with 10 brothers and sisters, and three of us married people who are Jewish. So there's, you know, so there's more of a diversity within the family than there was certainly a generation ago. But I think that there's a lot of room for perspective. One of the things that I found in writing this book, which was really wonderful, is how much of the time I found myself laughing. You know, I talked to Nancy Pelosi, who also came from the very, very traditional Catholic family, mm-hmm. and she said her mother always wanted her to be a nun. And when I asked her if she wanted to be a nun, she said, "No, I want to be a priest."
Right.
The nuns were wonderful, but the power was with the priest. And Susan Sarandon said, "I was told very early on that I had an overabundance of original sin." And she tells this wonderful story about being 7 years old, and her aunt gave her glow-in-the-dark rosary beads, which she didn't know were glow in the dark. And she said that she went into bed that night to say the rosary, and she turned out the lights and got under the covers and they started to glow. And she thought, "Oh my God, I'm going to see a vision."
It's coming. It's on the way.
And Dan Aykroyd tells a series of hilariously funny stories. But when I asked him if he wanted what he'd do as Pope, he said, "I'd embrace the gay and lesbian priest because I don't believe homosexuality is immoral. I draw the line at bestiality because it's unfair to the dog or the cat."
Oh, geez.
And then Cardinal McCarrick answered the same question. "If I were elected Pope, I'd resign right away and get a good guy in there." So it was a lot of these stories are very serious, but a lot of it is fun as well and funny.
You quote Cokie Roberts saying, "Why stay Catholic? Because the hierarchy is not the church. We, the people of God, are the church. They can't take that away from us." Yet another perspective there. Let's go to Anne calling from Concord, Massachusetts. Anne, you're on the air with Carrie Kennedy.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm in my 60s. I grew up in an Irish Catholic family, praying in the morning and in the evening, mm-hmm. using holy water for everything. Mm-hmm. Offering up all the suffering in the world, doing all the right things, went in the convent in the late 60s.
Became a nun.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Went immediately from a very, very traditional Catholic life to a much more radical life. Liberation theology was a happening thing. Mm-hmm. Going to third world countries, experiencing poverty, seeing what the world really was, had a life-changing effect on me. And I never left the Catholic Church. I left my community after 20 years. I have a child, and I don't go to church. I don't bring him to church. And my worst fear isn't so much that he won't have a religion. My fear has been that if I brought him, he would be confronted with the laws and rules of the Catholic Church. And I would be very frightened for him because I find the Catholic Church to be irrelevant today. And
Carrie Kennedy, may I ask you to respond directly to Anne? You hear her, the arc of her life is one deep in the church and then away from the church, and that fear for her own child. How do you respond to her, Carrie?
Well, you know, I think that I have a tremendous amount of compassion for that because I think that there's a lot of people who have been deeply hurt by the church in some ways, or as she says, who don't find it relevant. But finding something not relevant and finding it a threat to your child are two different things. And so for me, you know, personally, my perspective is that there are things that I disagree with the church over, but they do not interfere with my ability to have a strong relationship with God, with the Almighty, and to feel to feel a sense of community when praying with everybody at church on Sunday or morning prayers during the week. And that's very, very important to me. And those values and the quest for justice that is so important to the Catholic Church, and the connection with people who we love, who are in our families, who are strangers across the world, and those who have passed on, is also very important to me and something that I want to pass on to my kids.
And when you do that, Anne says she's fearful. How do you present the church to your children? How is it like and unlike the way it was presented to you as a child? And do you pick and choose in what you teach them about your church?
I think that everybody, from the most Orthodox Catholic to the least, makes decisions about what you're going to pass on, because there's so much about the church that you have to. We couldn't possibly, any one person couldn't pass on everything about the church. So, of course, everybody's making those decisions all the time. And certainly my kids probably have a vision of the church which is very, very, very imbued with a social justice bent to it. I think, you know, and then they question the church much more often than I ever did, of course. When my daughter Michaela was 6 years old, she came home from CCD, which is Catholic Sunday School. Mm-hmm. And she said, "My teacher couldn't answer my questions, Mom." And I said, "Well, what were your questions?" And she said, "Well, I asked why we say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because first of all, God might be a woman, so it could be mother. And why are we saying son? Shouldn't it just be child? I mean, does it matter if he was the son or the daughter?" So now these are questions that wouldn't have occurred to me as a six-year-old, but are occurring to my kids. So I think it's a different view.
And thank you very much for your call. Let's get another from Warwick, Rhode Island. Rachel, you're on the air with Carrie Kennedy.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm calling because I'm not a Catholic, but I live in a state that has a very strong Catholic presence,
mm-hmm.
and I have grown to deeply appreciate the voice of the Catholic Church with regard to social justice issues here in Rhode Island and elsewhere. Mm. Recently, for example, Bishop Tobin made a public statement asking the government to stop the sweeps of illegal immigrants, and I think that the Catholic Church is totally apolitical in the sense that they aren't married to either Democrats or Republicans. What they do is focus on what they think Jesus would ask them to do, compassion in our society. And that is an incredibly important voice, and it gets lost, I think, in our culture. And I'm very, very grateful that we have bishops like Tobin who are willing to step out and take on the government in this case,
On immigration, and maybe more. Rachel, our time is short before the break, but thanks for that. Carrie Kennedy, there's a non-Catholic saying she's grateful for what she sees as the Catholic Church standing up for compassion.
Exactly, and I'm so glad you brought up the whole immigration issue, because the Catholic Church has taken such a strong stance on this, and Cardinal McCarrick in Washington in particular. The other thing that we don't hear enough of, from the Catholic Church is its extraordinary work among the poor in our country. You know, it is second only to the federal government in providing health care and education to people living in poverty in the United States of America. And so we need to keep in mind how extraordinary the Catholic Church is on these social justice issues.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Bobby Kennedy's daughter, Carrie Kennedy, about her new book, Being Catholic Now. Carrie Kennedy joins us from Stamford, Connecticut. Let's listen to just a little bit of tape here. Back in time, her uncle, John F. Kennedy, September 12th, 1960, then candidate for the presidency, JFK gave a major speech to the Greater Houston Ministerial Association, a group of Protestant ministers, on the issue of his religion and government.
I am not the Catholic candidate for president. I am the Democratic Party's candidate for president, who happens also to be a Catholic. I do not speak for my church on public matters, and the church does not speak for me.
Much more recently, just last week, Republican vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin sat down with ABC's Charles Gibson. In the interview that aired Friday, Gibson asked about her views on abortion rights. Here's what she had to say.
I am pro-life. I do respect other people's opinion on this also. And I think that a culture of life is best for America because I know that we can all agree on the need for and the desire for fewer abortions in America.
Sarah Palin last Friday on ABC. Carrie Kennedy, what about the arc of the Catholic Church in American politics from when your uncle made that statement in 1960 to Sarah Palin raised Catholic, no longer, now Protestant evangelical? Where do you see the church influence in politics going? In what direction?
Well, in the first place, let me just respond that I wish Sarah Palin would would back up her view of reducing the number of abortions by actually funding those programs which reduce abortions that the Republicans have decided to take out of the platform. So I think that that would be a good first step. But I think that, you know, the view of religion has changed. As you point out, when John Kennedy ran, there was a fear of him being in the White House and having the White House have a blue line right to the Pope and the Pope sort of telling him what to do and what not to do. Today, politicians have to talk about their religious perspective in order to gain legitimacy. And I think that that's a dramatic change.
You supported Hillary Clinton before you supported Barack Obama. Your family famously on both sides of that Democratic Party battle over the nomination. Why were you in the Hillary camp, and how do you feel about Obama now?
I think Barack Obama is an extraordinary human being, an amazing, amazing capacity to inspire, to call us to public service, and he's going to be the next president of the United States. And I'm very, very happy and proud to be working for him. I did support Hillary Clinton. I have worked in international human rights for 27 years, and I think that the biggest issue facing human rights today is the quest for women's rights, because it's a problem which impacts every single human being on earth. One out of every three women is sexually assaulted during her lifetime in the world. 700,000 rapes per year in the United States of America. One out of every five girls in the United States is sexually assaulted by the time she's 21. And I really thought that having a woman in general, but Hillary Clinton in particular, who's fought for women's rights her whole life, would create change in our country and around the world.
How do you see Sarah Palin then in terms of women's rights, and in terms of there's been a groundswell of conservative Christian support for this Republican candidate?
Well, I think, you know, we don't I think we can't just look at the fact that she is a woman. We have to look at her stance on women's rights, and she just has not been very strong on it and is nowhere near the strength of the Democratic Party in general and Barack Obama in particular on fair wages, on help for kids and families, on education, you know, right across the board, all the issues that women are particularly concerned about, equal pay for equal work. Barack Obama has been a strong supporter of, and she has not. So I think that that's what we really need to look at.
Do you think that her position on abortion will bring Catholic voters in significant numbers around to her and the McCain-Palin ticket?
Well, you know, the Catholic voters vote pretty much along with the rest of America, and there's a certain number who are only concerned about abortion. And I think that as the study gets out that shows that Democrats under Democratic administrations, in fact, the number of abortions decreased by 34% while they increased by 14.2% under the Republican administration, that as that word gets out, there will be more and more people who are particularly concerned about abortion who are going to go to the Democratic Party line.
Let's go to our listeners. Jay in Boston, you're on the air with Kerry Kennedy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a quick comment on Ms. Kennedy. I think that when I listen to some of the callers, former Catholics or people who still consider themselves to be Catholic, including herself, and some of the people that she mentioned that she interviewed in her book, I have to say I would argue that you're not Catholic anymore. You've lost the faith. And there are many theologians who believe we are in the midst of the great apostasy prophesied in the book of Apocalypse. The thing is that when you lose your faith, it's a very difficult, it's a very tricky thing, because the faith, you know, the ban on artificial contraception, it just seems silly. And it's very difficult to go against the world and to stand up for what is right. I mean, we have abortion because of a contraceptive mentality. We have other positions that the Catholic Church takes in opposition to gay marriage, for example, which is a direct result of the separation of procreation from sexual activity. And people have always been, you know, I mean, we're the doctrine of original sin. We are fallen creatures, and we do. That's why Christ came, to save us from our fallen situation. But I would argue that if you, for me, as a traditionalist,
yes,
Catholic, definition of faith is the ascent of my mind to the magisterium of the Catholic Church. Even, and I think for any educated Catholic or even uneducated Catholic, that would have to be the definition, and that was the traditional definition of faith. And of course, it's going to be difficult. You'll be marginalized, most likely in the future, if you keep the faith. There is no way that a Catholic can support Obama unless they are ignorant of the teachings of the Catholic faith.
But you're saying that by her views, you believe Kerry Kennedy has left the church?
I would have to say so. I'm not saying that she's a bad person. I'm not saying that. I mean, there are many people who have left the church in many generations. I have members of my family who, in the past, were Protestant. Some converted to the Catholic faith. But what I'm saying is that you're not Catholic anymore. You may be a good person. You may, and there's no doubt in my mind that your intentions are right. And you know, I find Barack Obama a very attractive candidate as well, and he has many good points. But I also see a man who is losing his soul.
Jay, let us put it to Kerry Kennedy. Kerry, what do you say to this perspective? You're not Catholic anymore, says Jay.
Right. You know, I think that there is, in writing this book, what was very interesting to me is that I really went out and interviewed people with a wide range of views. And the view that this caller expresses is also expressed by Tom Monahan and by a couple of other people in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't agree with it. And I think that there's personally, I think that there, as I point out, there's a billion Catholics worldwide, and you're going to get a range of views. And that's one among them. And I think that that's what's appealing about this book, is that you really do find a lot of different perspectives. And so that this book in many ways speaks to all of us. One of my favorite parts in writing the book and in conducting these interviews was talking to parents, because all of us are grappling with the challenge of bequeathing our religious heritage to kids who sometimes turn a deaf ear.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna Quinlan struck a familiar chord when she said, when our oldest child was first described himself as an atheist, he was 16, and my husband and I looked at each other and said, right on schedule. until they went to college, our children had to go to Mass every Sunday. And people would say to me, don't they get upset about that, not wanting to go? But that's part of the tradition, too. We were part of that tradition. We remember the days when we said, I don't want to go to Mass. And the answer was, get in the car.
But Jay, with a much less tolerant vision of the Catholic tradition, and wondering if you're on the inside, how about your conversation with Bill O'Reilly or Bill O'Reilly's contribution to the book and its perspective? What did you find?
Well, now you see, this is very interesting, because many of the people who are politically conservative don't share the view of Catholicism that that last person
Jay.
Mm-hmm. expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jay expressed. Bill O'Reilly was very funny. I loved interviewing him. And also, there were others like Andrew Sullivan and Peggy Noonan who, when they appear on television, you know, I'm screaming at the television.
Mm.
But who, when I talked to them about their faith, I was very, very deeply moved by their by how enriching it is to their lives, and I learned a lot about my own faith through them. But Bill O'Reilly was very, very, very critical, particularly of the church with regard to the pedophile scandal. And he sees his role really as the world is divided between good and evil, and that he's trying to be on the side of good. And so he'll fight for anybody, you know, this is his expression of it, who is who's the underdog. And in this case, it was, of course, the kids. So he went right against the cardinals and the bishops of the church during that crisis.
Let's take a call from Kathleen in Centerville, Massachusetts. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Tom, thank you for taking my call. I'm a dedicated listener of your show.
Wonderful. Thank you. What do you see, Kathleen? What do you think?
What I'm saying is that I am so excited that Carrie has written this book. I can't wait to get her book. I'm in my mid-60s, and she's much younger, and I am so happy that the younger generation, there are some people speaking out, speaking my thoughts so eloquently, because I have given up hope that the church will change. But now that I hear young people speaking out, my hope that the church will change and that we will see women priests and women being accepted equally into our church, and all of the thoughts that Carrie has, I am just so excited, and I can't wait to get her book and thank her.
That's wonderful, Kathleen. But did you hear our caller, Jay, who says she's not really a Catholic and should leave the church if that's the way she thinks? What do you say?
No, she's just as Catholic as I am, and I go to church every Sunday. And I go to church with the same thoughts that Carrie goes with. And, of course, she's Catholic. We're all Catholic. And there's still many of us out there in our mid-60s, 70s, and 80s who had great hope with Vatican II and feel now that Vatican II has been forgotten. But maybe with Carrie's book and others writing like her, Vatican II realities will come true.
Kathleen, thank you so much for your call. And I want to get another here from Ave Maria, Florida. And Daniel, hi, Daniel. You're on the air with Carrie Kennedy.
Hi. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Certainly.
Yeah, just I'm calling from, you know, the place that was called the Catholic Disneyland a few minutes ago.
This is the town built in part with funding from Tom Monahan of Domino Pizza, conservative, devout Catholic who's put a lot of money into such things. Is that right?
It was built by Tom Monahan, correct?
Yes.
You know, if I'm here listening to NPR at Ave Maria, I must be listening to Disney Radio, you know. But the thing that I'd like to say is that Miss Kennedy seems to sometimes criticize the church as being judgmental, or maybe what one caller called too doctrinaire, when in fact what strikes me is that a lot of the, you might call them disenfranchised Catholics, are incredibly judgmental and doctrinaire against the Orthodox Church. And not only do I feel insulted that they would call, you know, my nice town where I live here with my three daughters and my wife, Disneyland, but you know, maybe some of these folks should think also, they should look at themselves before they start blaming or kind of criticizing the church for being one way. As a group, I think those that might be called heterodox Catholics tend to be pretty narrow-minded and pretty judgmental.
Carrie Kennedy? Call from Ave Maria, Florida itself for you.
Right. Yes, exactly. You know, it was interesting for me to talk to Tom Monahan because this is a man of tremendous faith and who politically I probably disagree on almost everything. I mean, when I talk to him about peace and justice, within the church, he said, well, that sounds Protestant people like me. So, you know, we're really coming at this from very, very different perspectives. And when I asked him how he imagined heaven, he said, I'd be living in this Frank Lloyd Wright house and I'd have all these virgins in there. So, you know, this we just really have different views of so much of this. But on the other hand, I have to say I was deeply, deeply moved by his description of growing up in a Catholic orphanage and of scrubbing the sacristy and keeping that church clean, and how much it meant to him to be in the presence of the Eucharist every day, and how that really helped him get through very, very troubling years when he had lost his father, who was beloved, and he and his mother had basically left him in this orphanage. So I again, I think that one of the wonderful lessons that I walked away from this book is that it is worth listening to views of people with whom you disagree. Because you can learn a lot about them, and you can learn a lot about yourself, and sort out what's important to you by doing so. And that's what I hope will happen when people read this book.
Are you optimistic? We just have a minute here, for more unity in the Catholic Church, or when you see the tremendous spectrum, the range of views and perspectives that you convey in your book, Carrie Kennedy, do you despair of unity?
Well, I don't. You know, I don't see any movement towards unity in this church. I don't really see any movement that way, but I don't despair that it doesn't exist, because I think that the word Catholic comes from the Greek word katholika, which means universal. We are all one. Mm. And I think that image of all of us being one is very, very important and wonderful and full of love.
You quote 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. Maybe that's a verse everybody can stand with. Carrie Kennedy's new book is Being Catholic Now. We're so grateful to you for your time today. Thanks for speaking with so many Catholics and bringing this to light. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you very much for your thoughts and calls. Thanks for joining us as well. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.